We're used to hearing these words from the letter to the Romans, from the very beginning of the letter to the Romans, from Romans chapter 1. So we can turn there for just a moment to that wonderful passage that really and truly sparked the Protestant Reformation. For I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. Or an alternate translation there, and actually a slightly better translation would be, the one who is righteous through faith will live. Now, this is a wonderful passage, and when I've taught it, I've broken the passage apart into its various words, the meaning of the word gospel, good news, the meaning of the word power, which is almost an explosive force, energetic, empowering. It's based upon the same root word from which we get the word dynamite. It is the dynamite of God for salvation. I love that alternate translation. To everyone who has faith. But we're used to hearing this message about righteousness coming by faith from the letter to the Romans. And most of us miss that little line here that Paul states, as it is written. Now, when Paul does that, he's not talking about himself, as I have written. If he means that, he says that. As I say before, so say now again, that he'll do that kind of thing. But when he uses the phrase, as it is written, that's an indicator that what's coming next you will find in the Hebrew Bible. You will find either in the Torah, the law of Moses, or you'll find it in the prophets. And here we find it in one of the least known and hard to pronounce books of the Old Testament, Habakkuk. Now, sometimes you have to sound like you're coughing when you say that. Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Where the prophet writes, look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Ooh, that's in the Old Testament, friend. Habakkuk, here in chapter 2, verse 4. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them. Now, that's an interesting play on words, even in English. And it works really quite well. Their spirit is not right. Correct, in line within them. For the righteous will live by their faith. Paul took this statement from Habakkuk, from the prophet, and he applies it to today. The righteous will live by their faith. Now, normally we think of the righteous as those people who are good, those people who do good things, those people who don't do wicked things, those people who obey the Ten Commandments, those people who do good works and good deeds, who give money to the poor and help little old ladies across the street and do all the things that good and right, upstanding people do. Those people who don't break the law, those people who do go to church, those people who do a whole list of things and don't do an even bigger list of things. Usually we define righteous people by that kind of a list. And what Paul tells us and what Habakkuk is telling us too, even from the Old Testament, is that righteousness truly has nothing to do with behavior. Righteousness has nothing truly to do. Now, behavior has as external expressions of inward faith and inward righteousness has a place. But righteousness itself has very little to do. Indeed, has nothing to do with external behaviors. Look at what Paul says. Let's go back to Romans. I am not ashamed, he wrote, of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. Now, if you have a pen, I want you to circle that word right there, faith. It is the power, the energy, the motivating force of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. Now I'm going to skip down. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by their faith. Those who are righteous will live by their faith. There's a connection there between the power of God, the dynamite, if you will. The word in Greek is dunamis, and it's the same root from which we get the word dynamite or explosive force. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who exercises faith. Now, we all know what faith is. I do this illustration at least once a year, and I don't know if I've done it in 2004, and it's the last month of October, last Sunday of October. So, here we go. Oh, we've seen this now 3 times, haven't we? We're going to go for 4, and then 5, and then 6, and 7, and then 8, because we need to be reminded. Faith. You know, I think this chair, that chair will support me. I really and truly believe this chair is sturdy enough to support my plenty poundage. I think, I believe, I know from past experience even, that that chair will support my weight. I believe it. I know it from past experience. I have sat in it before. I know it'll support my weight. I believe it. But I think I'm going to sit here on Jim's lap instead. Hi.
I'm glad there's arms.
Yes, I am too. Is that faith? No. That's poundage. Yes, it is, Jim. That is not faith. This may be belief that that chair will support my weight. It's a lot of faith that this chair will support my weight, with Jim sitting on it and me too. But it isn't faith in that chair. It's belief, but it's inactive belief. It is belief that is not in action. It is belief that is dead until the belief is taken and applied by sitting down in the chair in which it is focused. Faith becomes faith, saving faith, when the belief is placed into action, when the belief is put in motion. That is when it becomes saving faith, Christian saving faith. Even as a noun, the substance of faith, not just the action of faith, but the substance of faith. Is it the substance? It's simple belief until it is placed in motion, until you trust. That's another good English word for this word. Until you trust. And in this case, trust that the chair would hold me. It's not faith. It's simple belief. That's what Paul is talking about here. Not belief that doesn't trust, but belief that acts Belief that hangs itself on the belief. Belief that hangs itself on the promises of God. Belief that hangs itself on what the Bible says about Jesus, and in this case, that the righteousness of God is revealed and proclaimed and established in the Christian life through the power of the gospel, which brings salvation. And what is the gospel? It is the message of Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection for us. That He stood in our place, that He was hung on that cross in our place, paying for the sins that we have committed. And that His blood shed forth on the cross becomes a sufficient and atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And not only that, but for your sins and my sins specifically. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our faith in His blood, and our faith in what He did on the cross for us, standing in our place, taking the penalty that we deserve, death for sin. He who knew no sin stood in our place and died for us. That's the gospel, friends. And it's faith in that which brings the righteousness of God. Look again at what Paul wrote. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. That is belief, active belief, trusting belief. Belief that doesn't just consider, yes, I think Jesus will hold me safe in His arms, but belief that then places yourself in His arms. Action. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, that's simple. That means that the message was proclaimed to the Jews first because Jesus was a Jew, and the first disciples were Jews, but it didn't simply stop with the Hebrew people. It went beyond to the Gentile people, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to Gentiles and to Jews, to those who have the covenant of Moses, as well as to those outside the covenant of Moses. It is to everybody who hears the gospel. The promise is made. Respond in faith and righteousness. Righteousness, being made right with God, will be given unto you. You will be considered righteous. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, through Jesus' faith, for faith, our faith. Wow, Jesus' faith? Yes, Jesus' faith. It took, my friends, an amazing, infinite amount of faith to go to the cross. Faith that only God, incarnate in human flesh, could truly exercise for you and me. And when we have faith in His faith, when we have faith in His faith, that His blood would cover our sins, we truly are placing ourselves in His arms. As it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Not by works. Not by what you do or don't do. Not by being good or not being bad. Not by being a Democrat or a Republican or a Methodist or a Baptist or a Roman Catholic or Jew. Not by any of those labels or definitions by which we separate human being from human being. No. The righteous live by faith. By faith. Look now at Habakkuk again. He says, there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it, It will surely come. It will not delay. You know, we're watching in this political season, wondering, when is it going to end? I can't wait until I see the last commercial. Yeah, thank you. Amen indeed. When's it going to end? Well, my friends, that will come to an end. So also, we ask, we look at the world, we look at suffering, we look at strife, we look at the tribulation that we see in this world, and we ask ourselves, when will it end? When will unrighteousness cease? When will justice be done? When will the kingdom of God be brought into fruition? We have a taste of it here in this church. When will the entire world know the glorious truth that we are brothers and sisters and called to be brothers and sisters in Christ? And when will righteousness and justice and peace reign in this world? And the answer is, it will come. And we know it will come in Jesus. And we know it will be brought into full fruition when Jesus returns. But my friends, it is here now as well as still to come. It is now and not yet. And it is now in our faith. It is now in the faith of the church. It is now in your faith and in my faith that Jesus Christ is here, present among us in our prayers, in the scriptures, in our fellowshipping together, in our singing of hymns, in our praying up the altar rail, in Holy Communion, all my friends. We know that Jesus is here. And His gospel is the power for our salvation and becomes our righteousness, by which we stand before the throne. Habakkuk wrote, "Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right with them. They believe that they themselves are good enough. They themselves are perfect. They themselves are standards of righteousness." I spoke last Sunday and I quoted that wonderful Squirrel Revival Song. Mississippi Squirrel Revival Song by Ray Stevens, yes indeed. And I talked about Miss Bertha Better Than You, who was watching all this commotion in the church with sadistic glee until that squirrel came down and did laps inside her dress. And then she was forced to admit to the entire congregation that she was proud and in herself and in and of herself not righteous, not at all. And the point of that song is that none of us, not that entire church and not this church, friends, none of us are righteous in and of ourselves. Willie said it 2 Sundays ago. We're all big sinners. This church, church down the street, churches over there, by whatever name they are, they're filled with sinners. I praise God that we know it, that we are sinners saved by God's grace, that we are sinners who simply have recognized that we can't do it by our own power, that only Jesus and His grace and His life in us can save us and transform us into greater and greater likenesses of Jesus. We're called to be the body of Christ, to be transformed into His love, into His hands, into His feet, into His heart. Christ has no other hands but yours, mine. We are called to be His body and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ out into that world with our mouths and our hands and our feet and our hearts, and to be an expression of the love of God in this world, and by faith express that love to everyone whom we meet. And that, my friends, is righteousness. Being right with God is doing that gospel story, that gospel call, that gospel commission, and taking the good news to the whole world. That is what we are called to do here today. That is what we are all called to do every moment of our living. That is the whole purpose of the church. It's to take the gospel to the world so that others might hear and know and receive Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Oh, I wish we were all perfect, but we're not. There's that wonderful story. I've already told it here, and I've told it in other sermons, about one of the great princes of the pulpit, Henry Ward Beecher, wonderful Presbyterian, Calvinist, wonderful man. He was preaching a sermon, a revival sermon, at a Methodist church back at the beginning of the 1900s. And in the middle of his sermon, he was preaching about sin and total depravity. And he got to a point in his sermon where he stopped and he looked out at his congregation and he said, "You Methodists believe that one of these days you're going to be perfect. Well, I want to ask you, is there one Methodist here who's perfect?" And this little lady in the back stood up. And he said, "Sister, are you perfect?" And he said, she says, "No, but my husband's first wife was." Now we laugh at that with some discomfort. But we know, my friends, that what you see on the outside in the package, even from the best people, is simply a dim approximation of what God calls us to be in Jesus Christ. And only Jesus can transform us. Transform us, make us right with God. Indeed, only Jesus can ever make us perfect. We are called to live by faith. We're called to live by faith, by trusting in God, by trusting in Jesus, by trusting in what He did for us on the cross. And it is in doing that that we have God's righteousness applied to us and transforming us. Give thanks to God that we have access to the grace, the unearned favor, the peace, and the power of God to live by faith, and by living by faith, experience that righteousness in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.